You are invited to attend our no-cost legacy planning workshop on Saturday, October 12, 2024, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Legacy planning is strategically distributing your assets to celebrate your life. In this workshop, you will hear about what the Bible has to say about financial legacy, building an estate, obtaining long-term care insurance, putting your legal documents in order, tax-advantaged giving, what community foundations offer, and opportunities for insurance for final expenses with no physical exam. Knowledge is power. These steps can assure that your legacy is a memoir that truly celebrates your life. Registration is on the Bethany Baptist website at bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Or you can contact the church office at 412-242-3255.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3, from our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover.
13, as we continue to speak on the love chapter, Paul gives us some good tips on how to be a more loving person. As the song says, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. I want to be more loving in my heart. Let's begin reading in verse 4 and go through verse 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And at the end of the message last week, I was sharing with you a song that was popular some years ago, and the title of the song was If That Isn't Love. And a part of the song went, if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. If that isn't love, there's no stars in the sky. If that isn't love, the sparrow can't fly. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 13, especially verses 4 through 7, we have to echo the same refrain as the songwriter did. If that isn't love, love suffers long. If that isn't love, love is kind. If that isn't love, love envies not. If that isn't love, love does not vaunt itself. If that isn't love, love is not puffed up. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. If that isn't love, there's no stars in the sky. If that isn't love, then the sparrows can't fly. Let's think about that this morning as we go through, especially verse 4. If that isn't love, this is what love is right here. People ask the question, well, how do you know if you're in love? Well, I tell people, if you really want to know if you're in love, read 1 Corinthians 13. That'll tell you right there. And specifically focus on verses 4 through 7. That will let you know if you're really in love. Because if these are not characteristics in your life, then you don't love the person that you think you love. You might be in lust, or you might have some affection, or you might have some concern, but you're not in love. 1 Corinthians 13 lets you know that you're in love. As we look at the outline for 1 Corinthians 13, we have given you a four-point outline for 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 1 through 3 deal with the power of love. Verses 4 through 7 deal with the performance of love. What does love look like? verses 8 through 12 deal with the permanence of love. And then in verse 13, we see the preeminence of love. Last week, we began to talk about four types of love. We talked about eros, which it would be a erotic or a sensual love. That would be the love that a man would have toward a woman, the physical attraction that a man would have toward a woman and a woman would have toward a man. Then we said that there was storge. That was a love that suggests a sense of belonging, such as being a part of a family, that when you're in a family and there's that love that runs in the family, that's a storge love. And then we talked about phileo, and we said that that was a brotherly love, and that is the kind of love that's found in friendship. And then the fourth type of love that we talked about was agape. And agape is a sacrificial love that looks out for the interest of others and for the sake of the other person. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we're not talking about eros. In 1 Corinthians 13, we are not talking about storge. In 1 Corinthians 13, we are not talking about phileo, but in 1 Corinthians 13, we're talking about agape. That's the word that's used here, the Greek word. In the King James, it translates the word charity, and that was brought over from the Latin. But the Greek term is agape, which is a sacrificial love, and that's the kind of love that God is mandating for his believers to exercise. And as we went through the outline last week, we looked at the power of love. And we talked about the fact that in verse 1, Paul says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And we said that eloquent speech minus love just equals a bunch of noise. And then we see in verse 2 that supernatural abilities minus love equals nothing. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Supernatural abilities without love equals nothing. And then we said sacrificial activities minus love equals nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And this week, we are moving into another portion of 1 Corinthians 13, where we look at the performance of love. And we see that in verse 4, as he says, love suffers long. Love suffers long. Love is long-suffering. How do I know I'm in love? I know I'm in love because I have this ability to have patience. I have this ability to work with people through circumstances. Very interesting, if you look at your notes there, very interesting word here. The Greek term is makrothumeia, and it comes from a compound word, makros, which means long, and thumos, which means to have a strong passion, such as rage or anger. And the word means to, listen to this, it means to exercise constraint toward others when they have caused you to be angry. Long suffering. When you have every reason to be angry, when you have every reason to be upset, makrothumeo, long suffering, kicks in when you have this love in your heart. Love suffers long. Love suffers long. And as we look at this whole idea, this word, if you were to study it out, in every situation that is used in the Bible, listen to this. It is never used of situations or things. There's another word that's used for situations or things. Like if you're going through suffering or you're going through trials, there's another word, hupomene, which means to be long-suffering in the midst of trials. This word right here only is used in reference to other people. God is saying that we need to be long-suffering, that if we have love in our heart, we need to be long-suffering toward other people. There was a teacher who noticed one of her students, young child about the age of 5 or 6, trying to put on his shoes. And she went over
and asked if he needed help, and he said that he needed help. And so the teacher patiently helped this young man to put on his shoes, and after she got them on, he said, "Teacher," he said, "they're on the wrong feet." And so she was a little frustrated because she had other students that needed to be attended, and so she took the boots off, and as she took the boots off and put them back on the right feet, the little boy said, "These aren't my boots." So now, you know, she once again see all the other students that need help. She takes the boots off, and he said, "These are not my boots. They're my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them this morning." And so she takes the boots, and she patiently puts them back on and puts the boy's coat on, and she said, "Okay, now where are your mittens?" And he said, "They're in the toes of the boots." You're talking about macrothumeo. You're talking about long suffering. You're talking about patience. See, that's the idea there, is that there'll be people that will frustrate you. There will be people that will cause you to absolutely go crazy and lose your mind. But whenever you have the love of God in your heart and you have this long suffering in your heart, you're able to deal with it. The Bible says. And you know, one of the things that, you know, I've been pushing as I've been sharing this these messages on love is the fact that these are characteristics of God. And that when we do these things, we are acting the way God acts. And the Bible says that God is long-suffering. If you want to be like God, we can never be God, but we can be like God. And if you want to be like God, exercise long-suffering. If you want to be like God, have patience with other people. The Bible says that God is slow to wrath. That he's slow to wrath. God is slow to get angry. And in the Hebrew, the word means that God is slow before, and this is literally the translation, before his nostrils start to flare up. What happens when you get angry? Your nose gets big. And the Bible says that some, you know, that's why some folk can't hide it. You know when some folk get angry. Why? Nose start getting big. You see, and the Bible says that it takes God a long time before his nose gets big, before he gets angry. And if you want to be like God, be a patient person. Have patience with other people. The four points that I have here: love is not short-tempered. That if you have the love of God in your heart, you don't fly off the handle with people real quick. You don't go off on people, but you have patience with people. Love puts up with inconveniences by other people. You know, I remember when my one son, Jonathan, he was going to WVU. And I, my wife or I would take him down there and, you know, tell him, "Look, now we're coming back the next break to pick you up. If you come back, you need to make sure on the weekend, you need to make sure you got a ride back home, back down there. Now we'll come and get you when at the appointed times." Well, every now and then he would show up over the weekend. And my first question, whenever I saw him, my first question always was, "How you getting back?" That's always my first question. And I remember he said, "Oh, I got a ride." And I remember there was a Sunday I preached here at Bethany. I preached somewhere else in the afternoon, and I was tired. And I was going home. It was, you know, just worn out from the day's work. Looking forward to just taking off my shoes and relaxing. And guess what? Guess who was there? With no ride. I said, "Oh, man." Got in my car, drove 2 hours down to WVU and dropped him off. You know, what motivates a parent to do something like that? Only thing is love. It wasn't because, as Brother Van said, it wasn't because I felt like it. It wasn't because I wanted to do it. Only love.
you know, motivate you to do that. And what the Bible says here is that love puts up with inconveniences from other people. That instead of becoming bitter and angry and, you know, regretful and all these other negative things and the emotions that go around it, because you have love in your heart, that you are able to deal with the inconveniences by others. And also, love puts up with the faults of others. You know, people got problems. You know, people got issues. You know that. People got problems. And when you think about the fact that people have problems, that the only way that we can deal with those problems is to have love. That if you've got love in your heart, that you can put up with the faults of other people. You know, there was a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy was standing with her arms folded, and she had the stern expression on her face. And Charlie Brown says that, Lucy, you've got to be more loving. You know, the world really needs more love, and you got to be more loving to make the world a better place. And Lucy turned around and decked him, and Charlie Brown was laying on the ground. And Lucy came over to him, and Lucy said, look, you blockhead, I love the world. It's just people that I can't stand. And you know, sometimes it's like that, isn't it? We love the world. It's just people that get on your nerves. You know, I love the church. I love the church. I love Bethany. But you know, sometimes it's just people that dig at you, that eat at you, that really do things that cause you to be frustrated. But when you have the love of God in your heart, you can be long-suffering towards others. Love is not short-tempered. Love puts up with the inconveniences of others. Love puts up with the faults of others. And love does not retaliate when injured by others. That when you have every opportunity to retaliate and to get back at someone else, that love lets the opportunity go. Love is long-suffering. How much long-suffering do you have in your heart this morning, saints? Are you patient? Do you have the love of God in your heart? Or are you one of these people? Hurry up, hurry up. I one of the things that have been frustrating for me over the last couple days is just driving behind slow people. And I'm not a fast driver. But, you know, it just, and I find myself saying, come on, Bill, now just settle down. Just settle down, you know, just settle down. You'll have a little bit more patience. And see, that's just human nature, that if we don't talk to ourselves and if we don't control the flesh, human nature will take over and have us frustrated because we are not exercising long-suffering and patience. You know, the patience to be able to just, you know, I love people, because this is not one of my gifts. I love people who can work with children. I take my hat off to people who can work with children. You have a special gift. God, let's give them a hand today. You know, praise the Lord. You have a special gift. You have a special gift, because I know I don't have it. I know I don't have it. And you know that the key characteristic that you got to have when you work with especially younger children, you got to have some macrothumeo. You got to have long suffering. You got to have patience. And you know, that's, you know, we can learn. Just, if we want to learn how to be patient, just look at people who work with children. You know, that's why some people, let's be honest, some folk don't need to work with kids. Y'all laugh. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Some folk don't need to work with kids, all right, because they don't have the patience, all right. But thank God for those that do. And when you got that love in your heart, that's what love looks like. It's long-suffering toward others. Well, look at the next thing that he says here. He says that not only is love long-suffering, but love is also kind. It's kind. This Greek word comes from a word that means to be useful, serving, or gracious. That's what kind. It means that you are useful. That you will serve someone, that you will be gracious to someone else. Now, one of the things that I'm finding out that as I go through 1 Corinthians and have this, you know, I've been looking at this as a Bible study. And as I've been going through this Bible study in 1 Corinthians, when Paul says things, a lot of times he's saying these things to address issues in the church at Corinth. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 17, Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they who are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." So they were coming together, having these love dinners in the church, and then they had the Lord's Supper afterwards. And look what he says in verse 21. He says, "In eating, everyone taketh before the other his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunk." Paul says, look, you know, here we are in the church having these dinners, and somebody's over here eating, and the other person is hungry. You know, this person over here is eating filet mignon, and this a person over here has nothing to eat. And the people that got the filet mignon, they over there eating and greasing and grubbing out, having a good time, just gorging themselves. And here the brother is over here starving. Over here we got folk drinking and getting drunk, and over here we have people that don't have anything. Paul said, look, where's the love of God at in your heart? Love is what? Love is kind, that if I see my brother over here with nothing, whatever I have, that I'm willing to share with my brother who has nothing. That's what kindness is. And so Paul is addressing these issues straight on. He's hitting them straight on. And he says, how can you see your brother in need and say that the love of God dwells in you? Wow. How can you see others hurting in the body, and the kindness of God does not spring forth from your heart? Paul looks at the church in Corinth, and he sees that they got issues even in the area of being kind to one another. And what does Paul say? He says that love is kind. What does that mean? Love is useful for somebody else. Love is kind. It thinks about somebody else. It's helpful to others. The points under here: love is considerate of others, love is generous, and love serves and benefits others. Love is considerate of others. How considerate are you of others? You know, and once again, you know, we can think of this word kind meaning, well, just being nice to somebody. Well, you know, that's the English definition of the word kind, just being nice to somebody. But what is the Greek definition of the word kind? Listen. It means that you're being useful to somebody. It don't mean that you're just being nice. It means that you're being useful. So you can say, well, I was kind. I was being very kind. Well, you can be kind and the person still be over there. You know, somebody broke down on the side of the road in the cold, in the ice, and you ride by and say, hey, brother so-and-so, don't you go to Bethany Baptist Church? Yeah, I go to Bethany. Oh, you know, man, wasn't that a great sermon that Pastor Glaze preached last? Oh, man, Pastor Glaze off the hook. Yeah, he's here. Hey, what's wrong? Well, you know, my car.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 3. or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.